Hello and welcome to episode number 52 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon, and...
with me, Mark Wilkinson. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next episode. 52. We're getting into high numbers now, 52.
Yeah, it's good.
How's your week been? Anything exciting? How's the house coming along?
House is getting there. It's been a bit of slow progress recently, so... up until now, it's been like chaos and just like loads of stuff going on all the time. And then in the last like week or so, we're just kind of waiting for things and waiting for the kitchen to be delivered, waiting for plumbers to come back, waiting for the flooring guy to come back. So there's lots of kind of waiting, which is frustrating because I'm just so desperate to get back into my own house again. So, but apart from that, it's looking great. It's going to be a great place to live once I'm in. Good. So yeah. Work-wise, yeah, nothing. Been working on Rec Press a little bit. So we've been refactoring, haven't we? Because we started off as Job Relay Plus, and we've kind of given it its own unoriginal brand. Well, it is original, but you know what I mean. We've been refactoring that and trying to improve the CSS a bit because we've ruled it out a few times already. It's worked really well, but I've kind of realized some of the gaps in the CSS that I had. Doing some of that. What about yourself?
Yeah, good. Still recovering from my body ailments, my rolled ankle and what have you, but yeah, it's getting better now, which is good. Work-wise, I have been doing a little comparison sort of work on a site, so you can compare products and put them into a little table to compare with. That was quite interesting to do for a site. That was kind of just like a prototype, wasn't it? Like can we get something working and stuff like that.
It's kind of like an e-commerce site without the e-commerce, isn't it? It's a product catalog, but with no payments yet. Yeah. So I guess the first big decision for us was, do we use an e-commerce platform and just strip out the actual payment side of things, or do we do something custom? So I think your experiment was starting off with WooCommerce, wasn't it? And
yeah, so I've used WooCommerce and kind of like stopped it from taking payments, changed a few of the strings from my add to cart to make more sense to the use case that we're using. But it is like the setup of WooCommerce is really complicated if you're wanting to launch a store, which can't, you know, that's what WooCommerce is for. It is quite complicated, but then it is quite complicated, isn't it? Launching a store. So I suppose inevitably there's a sort of learning curve to go through that you've got to go through. So that's been taking up my week. Lots of Job Relay support and then moving over some customers from our older product to the newer product. So hopefully they can take advantage of the new stuff. So yeah, that's been my week.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, so what is our topic of conversation for today? Before we get into that, as always, if you are new here, say hello. If you're not new here, say hello. Hi to Tony, Kieran, and Joseph. Thank you very much for joining us. Give the video a like. It always helps us out. And if you've not subscribed, please do so. It really helps us out as well. So today's topic.
Well, the main topic is work, or is WordPress work getting harder to come by? Born out of, I guess, a few conversations I've had recently. The conversations will remain private themselves, but just the general kind of tone of those conversations around people struggling a little bit in terms of inquiries coming in and, you know, workload being pretty low at the minute. So if you're listening or watching, I'd be really interested to know what your experience is at the minute. Like, are you finding things difficult? You know, are new leads and inquiries harder to come by now than they were a year ago, 3 years ago, five, whatever? I'd be really interested, because the sense that I get is that there's a general slowdown. I think it's probably a macroeconomic thing, not just a WordPress thing, but it is interesting.
Because I think the whole tech sector has kind of slowed a bit, hasn't it? Because I know that some of the big companies have been laying off people, and even some of the bigger agencies in the WordPress space, I know I've had rounds of redundancies. I don't know whether that was like 6 months ago or 2 months ago, but I know that's happened. So I just wonder, it would be interesting to see what people are thinking in terms of their workloads. And in terms of us, I think we're a bit skewed because of our product, haven't we? So we've been really focusing on that for the last 6 months. And as a result, we haven't really been focusing on marketing for building WordPress websites. So in many ways, we'd have expected a little bit of a downturn in those inquiries, which probably is true, although we've had a few. But a few calls recently that were, you know, been on some positive calls. But because we've been focusing elsewhere, we've been focusing on building that up and so on. And I think the actual sort of our, what used to be our core work of building WordPress websites has kind of tailed off a little bit. So yeah, but I think work with our current clients is about normal, really. Like the maintenance clients and clients that want new bits and bobs added to the websites.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. But yeah, certainly the inquiries, and I think there's probably loads of factors, and that's one of the reasons I'd like to hear from you if you're watching or listening about what your current experiences are. Because for us, I think we'd already started to see a bit of a decline. Then a pandemic hit. Then we kind of refocused our business into recruitment, and in a lot of ways that hasn't gone maybe as well as we would have liked to on the website building side of things.
No.
It's gone really well on the product side of things, which we're very fortunate about. But if we didn't have those products right now, I wonder what we'd be thinking and how things would be going. But like you say, we potentially could have put more energy into marketing that side of the business, which we really haven't done very much of. But yeah, loads of potential factors. Like certainly a lot of competition in the WordPress space. So I'm thinking pre-COVID, we'd already started to see like loads and loads of agencies move from just general we build websites to our focus is WordPress, because there was a big demand for WordPress from the market. Whereas before it was, I want a website. Can you give me a website? And say, yeah, I'll give you a website. By the way, it'll be a WordPress website. It suddenly became people wanting WordPress websites. And then I think a lot of agencies cottoned onto that, jumped on that bandwagon and refocused themselves from kind of more generic to WordPress. So there was suddenly a lot of competition in that space anyway. And then us shifting into recruitment, there's loads and loads of competition for recruitment websites. Like that is not a niche that has been untapped. You know, there's a lot of competition at lots of different price points as well. So it's kind of hard for us to stand out in that space too. Interesting. So just a couple of comments. Tony says, I'm just finishing up converting a classic WordPress site to full site editing on a voluntary basis, no income. He says agency work seems to be drying up. Alternatives? Question mark. Maybe we'll come back to alternatives in a minute. And then Craig says, very busy here and no sign of slowdown, but those projects are branding, website, supporting marketing, and not just WordPress website. So great to hear, Craig, that you're busy. Really, that's really, really positive. So interesting. So those projects are branding, website, supporting. So like more of a complete project, it's like start to finish, rather than just needing a developer.
I wonder whether there's a shift as well in that customers are wanting more of a whole suite approach, really. They want more of a marketing approach, and that consists of a number of different pieces, websites being one of them. Whereas perhaps before that, websites were stood alone outside of that, and then I don't know, maybe that's the case. You do see a lot of people working with others that do the whole sort of suite of things now, designing and developing and marketing and ads and all sorts of things.
Yeah, Joseph points out, he says, one factor might be how a web build fits into business requirements. Like Craig points out, just wanting a website feels more rare than before. Could be. I wonder if that's what it, like a kind of trend that swings back and forward, like moves between kind of full service agencies to like splitting things up, and like what drives those trends. I've got no idea. I'm not the kind of person that has my finger on the pulse of like this kind of like bigger picture stuff. I just kind of go with the flow without kind of seeing these trends as they happen and being able to kind of ride a wave or anything. But yeah,
I wonder also, like, over the last well, since the launch of the block editor, the goal is to be able to make publishing more easily without the use of a developer. So is WordPress at that stage where there are more and more businesses, people actually having a go at building their own sites rather than turning to a developer? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's the case.
I mean, I think that has to be a long-term trend. Like,
yeah,
you look back 20 years ago, you needed to be a proper geek to do anything online. Today, you can spin up something, you know, quite easily. So lots of what web developers used to do and the value we used to bring is getting eroded and commoditized. You know, even the design now, you know, you've got things like Canva taking away a big chunk of that. Like, we won't go into AI, but there's AI coming too. And
so in 10 years' time then, are we going to see a massively shrunk development sector in terms of like...
It has to be.
The number of WordPress developers that you see nowadays is just going to be like, what, 50% of that, 70% less
from
them? Because other commoditized tools that do the jobs of what they used to do. And in which case, we all need to start thinking about what we're going to be doing in 10 years' time, don't we? Because we're probably not going to be doing what we're doing now.
No, I think that goes without saying, I think. I mean, it's just true of any industry. You know, things change and things get commoditized and... there's new opportunities come from that though. That's the thing. So like what was difficult yesterday is easy today, which frees up more time to do other value added stuff. So maybe that's like a way that we need to kind of think about it. And we've talked about this a little bit between ourselves. It's like, okay, so if we don't need to like develop the websites anymore, what's our skill? It's like maybe it's putting together the websites so that they're stable and secure. Maybe it's creating a better content management experience with the tools that are there, not actually building any tools, but just like tweaking them and managing them. Maybe it's support and maintenance. Maybe it's the design stuff. Like there's lots of...
Well, we've spoke before about like just using full site editing, for example, and the block editor and so forth is a skill in itself now. I do think there's a little bit of a space there for an expert block editor and full site editor to understand all those tools properly and how to use them to actually build websites for people. Maybe you won't be able to sell those for as much as you would developing custom bespoke concepts and things, but I think that, you know, there's always been that builder person, hasn't there, that knows a suite of tools and wants to put things together using those tools, which provides value, massively value to someone who doesn't know those tools and who doesn't know how to use them together. And I think that's probably still going to happen with the new tools we've got. So this is
if you think about, you know, we had a client call earlier in the week and we've built a full site editing site for the client and they're putting together the pages and they're like, you know, we don't like this section of the page. It doesn't work very well. It's not very good responsively. And I could come in and be like, well, we could do it this way, or we could do it this way, or we could do it that way. And I understand the blocks, I understand the structure, understand how it works responsively and behind the scenes. So I could much easier than she could. I was able to come up with a solution quite quickly to that problem. So there's a skill that I have that even though the tools are there for her to do what I did, like I did it using the tools that she has, but I've got the expertise and the skill to do that more effectively.
It's good. It was a good little call, that wasn't it? Like a bit of a design workshop where we sort of took a page that had all the content on, like the client put all the content on the page, but we all looked at the page and sort of said, "Well, it doesn't quite do
doesn't
it,
quite
for
work.
Me, you know, like it's not quite right." And then we spent 20 minutes or so just deciding on some iterations and changing some things, moving things around a bit, adding new blocks, presenting content in a slightly different way. And eventually, just after sort of 20-25 minutes, we came up with a page that everyone liked, and it was great. It was good, a good little process.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean if people are worried about this kind of thing, and I'm sure there are going to be people, especially, you know, if you're experiencing a bit of a downturn, I would definitely encourage people to focus less on technical skills. Now, this is going to be, take this with a massive pinch of salt, but maybe focus less on technical skills and more on what business problems you help to solve. I just think that's a really good headspace to try to get into, because the people typically, unless you're just a freelance developer and you're working for an agency and that agency just wants you to be a good developer, that's one thing. But if you've got your own clients, don't maybe obsess quite as much on getting everything, like being a purist from like a development point of view. Sometimes good enough is good enough, and what you should actually be putting maybe slightly more energy into is what problems can I solve for the clients that I have or the clients that I want to have. I definitely think that's a shift that we've made over the years.
Yeah, definitely. You can get too bogged down in doing things the perfect way because it's what you want to do and what you're passionate about, and the client doesn't give a monkey's. Like,
yeah,
if it looks bad, it looks good, and it works, that's all that matters to them. So they're not really bothered about all that behind the scenes stuff that, you know, is the last 10% that makes it so much better. They really don't care. So
if everyone cared, then everyone would have sites with page speed scores of 100.
Exactly.
And nobody does.
Yeah.
So, and like, nobody has accessible, not saying you shouldn't be aiming for this stuff, but nobody has accessible websites. Nobody has, you know, particularly good performing websites. You know, there's just room for improvement, and sometimes good enough is good enough, and you have to like get to that place. I don't know.
You made a good point. I think when you talk about alternatives, I think it was Tony that mentioned like what are the alternatives and
stuff. Well,
like, what is it that you do that your clients really value? And that it might not be building WordPress websites. It might be something completely different. And one way, especially now, like if you're having a downturn and stuff, is really do speak to your clients. Get some on the phone and talk to them. Like, why do they use you? What is it that they like about working with you? And then you might find that they're all the same. Like, if you've got 10 clients, they all say exactly the same thing. This is what's so good about you. Maybe focus on that in your marketing rather than focusing on the thing that you thought was what everybody wanted, you know?
Yeah. And while you're... Sorry, I was just going to say, Mark, while you're on that phone call with your current clients, ask them if there's anything else that you can do for them.
Yeah.
You know, what else, you know, what else are you struggling with? Just start asking questions. And this is what I mean about focusing on like the business problems. What are you struggling with? Like, what would you love to be able to do, you know, with your website, or maybe not even your website? Maybe you've got complementary design skills that they could use somewhere else in their business. I don't know. But yeah, I think that is a superb first step. If you're struggling, instead of thinking, where am I going to find all this new work from and all these new clients, talk to the ones you've got or the ones you've had over the last like few years and say, hi, just checking in, anything, you know, I'd love to chat to see where you're at. Don't make it super salesy. Just make it like...
generally like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you know, if you need to, like we've had chats before where we've sort of offered like an Amazon voucher to chat with recruiters just to understand the industry a bit more. You know, do the same thing, you know, kind of half an hour's chat with you for the 10 quid Amazon voucher or something just to incentivize them. Because actually, it's worth it. It really is worth it. Speaking to your clients is so useful. I would really encourage you to try and do that, even if you're not experiencing a downturn in the stuff, because it's so useful, like you said, to hear what their problems are, to hear the problems that you solve for them. It's really important. So give it a go. Definitely.
And that's essentially what our products have been born from so far. Like it's having those repeated, not going to past clients, but like people talking to you and just listening to the problems they're having. It's like, this is hard, this is expensive, this is whatever. It's like, all right, I wonder if we could do that in a different way that makes that slightly easier, slightly less expensive, slightly faster.
Yeah, definitely. And Tony says, totally agree. Our job is to solve a problem. Defining the problem, finding a suitable solution, functionality, cost, and time scale is the real skill. Definitely, finding the solution to the problem. What I actually think a lot of, though, is that a lot of customers that we have calls with is they're not actually sure what problem they're trying to solve, and part of your role is also to actually define what that problem actually is that they're trying to solve, because they probably know it in their head but they can't articulate it to you or to us, So helping them along that journey of actually, you know, what the problem is also a part of a good skill to provide people, definitely.
Yeah, Jonathan Stark talks about the why conversation, and it's something I try to do in sales calls, but you could also just do it with current clients as well, or anybody that you talk to. Just keep asking why. Yeah. So I'm interested in the new website. Why?
Was the client emailed to me and said, I can't remember the exact circumstance, but the email went along the lines, we need to change the URLs of all the jobs. So there was something like, you know, /job/post title, essentially. And it turns out, like, the reason why they wanted to do that, the real reason why they wanted to do it was to fix a problem, but the problem was far easier fixed by doing something else rather than actually changing the URL. That was irrelevant. They thought that was going to fix the problem.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So they were trying to, their problem was, I can't change my URLs because I want to, whereas actually that wasn't the problem. And digging deeper means you could solve what actually was the problem a much easier way. And that's part of the skill, I think, as you can offer as well, is to find out, why are we actually doing this, and is there a better way of doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. It can feel really awkward to ask that question, those seemingly obvious questions. Yeah. So why do you want a new website? It's like, because I do, because, you know, because our site's old. And to continue down that track, but why? It can be quite awkward. But sometimes, well, usually it actually is quite insightful. And it's not usually as awkward as you first think. And people like to talk about it. You tend to find, you know, they like to talk about problems. The only time that I find that that's not the case, well, sometimes people just want, just tell me how much it's going to cost. So the people that are like just trying to get a range of quotes and they don't really care who you are and they've forgotten who you were by the time you've actually spoken to them. And they're just like, I just want to know costs so I can compare and find the cheapest. But that's also a good reason to ask those questions, because if you feel that people are getting impatient with your questions, maybe not a great fit. Going a bit off topic there, but
So Tony mentioned alternatives. Any ideas on alternatives for getting new clients, doing new things? If we're all going to be redundant in 10 years' time, because the WordPress developer is going to have disappeared slightly, I wonder what the alternatives are.
It would make a brilliant, like, blog post, or, you know, like, what are we all going to do when AI eats our lunch, kind of thing. Any off the top of my head, I don't really know. I mean, there's the obvious stuff like courses.
The one that comes to mind when I was thinking of that is can you take something that you have that's popular and monetize it some way? This depends on what you've got, but what we realized about 2 years ago was we had literally 90% of all the traffic that went to the high-rise digital website went to one blog post.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, what can we do to monetize that? So what we did was made some sort of downloadable template that it was all about creating a website specification, created a downloadable template that people could buy for like 10 quid. And lo and behold, it sold like 1,000 copies of this thing. It's ridiculous, you know. So if you've got something that's already popular on your website, can you monetize it in some way? Can you offer, you know, paid support? Can you offer consultation calls about something? If you've got a blog post that tells you how to do something in WordPress, can you stick a call to action that says, you know, book a call for 50 quid and we'll have a chat about it because you want some help?
Yeah.
Anything like that, if it's popular. That's something that comes to my mind. But
I do feel as well, like, the age-old advice about finding some kind of niche. The generalists presumably are the first ones to struggle, because what have you got going for you if you're just like, I'm okay at everything? I don't know. I just feel like that's always good advice. But having said that, you know, it hasn't massively worked for us.
I think people always say that, and it is good advice. I'm not going to deny it's good advice. Like, since we found that niche, we've grown. But part of me thinks you can't go out and find a niche. You can't just say, you know, my niche is now going to be, you know, basket weaving, whatever it's going to be. It almost finds you as well. And I think you know, it became obvious to us once we had this solution to a problem that everybody wanted, and to sort of build on it and make it better. Yeah. And I think talking with your clients, like we said before, is going to help you find the niche. You know, are they all saying the same thing, that you're really good at X, whereas you didn't really know that before? I think that's important. But
yeah,
finding a niche is harder than you think. But I don't know. I feel as though it's fell into our lap a little bit more. We didn't go hunting for it.
No, we definitely didn't.
It was probably already there. We just needed to take opportunity with it.
Well, yeah, because we talked about it 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, about doubling down on recruitment.
Yeah.
But I think you can. I'm not saying you can pick any niche in the world that you can think of. It's got to be big enough that there's a market. It's got to be small enough that there's not too much competition, and it's actually specific enough to be a niche.
Hmm.
You also have to have the skills for that niche. So, like, we probably can't decide to be a government
headless WordPress
website specialist, or a designing websites for Formula One teams. Although I'm sure you'd love to do that.
That would be cool.
That would be pretty cool. Well, why not, actually? Why couldn't we do that? You know, if you decided it and you had the backing, and you'd kind of like, okay, we'll not start with Formula One, we'll start further down the motorsport world, and we'll, you know, that's the end goal, but we'll work our way up, and we'll do some sites for free in that niche to build up a bit of whatever, you know. But you've got to have the right... There's lots of strategies, lots of ways to go about it. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is I think you can choose, but you've got to obviously choose wisely and approach it in the appropriate way. We were lucky that it kind of fell on our lap in some respects.
But you've got, I think if you're choosing a niche, you've got to choose, you're better to choose something that you already have a foot in the door with.
Well, obviously, but you might not have a foot in the door with anything.
No, you might not. But if you have, and that's what I'm saying, if you talk to your clients and find out if you have a foot in the door that you don't realise, you might be better starting from that point. So if you pick creating websites for Formula One teams, like you've never even built a website for any sort of motorsport or anything, why is someone going to use you? You know, even if you do it for free, it makes it more harder. Whereas if you've got something that you've already done, etc., that you can hook into, that might be a bit
better. I like to be a bit more optimistic than that, I think, that you could do it, but yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Charlie. I think Charlie was from Oxford, he said before, so hello from Oxford. What is your niche, guys? Keith, what is our niche?
WordPress.
WordPress. Literally.
WordPress websites and plugins for the recruitment industry.
Yeah, I'd say our real niche is connecting recruitment posting, job posting software with WordPress websites. That's our real niche. And that is the next question from Charlie. What's your solution? That's what our solution is. If you haven't been listening to the previous episodes, we have a product called Job Relay, which connects multi-posting jobs systems to WordPress websites so that people can have their jobs on their own website and display them. Mm. So that's what our niche is all about. But I'm sure the rest of us don't want to talk about that because we know that.
No, I've been on over that a few times. Just before, we had some other topics, but we're approaching the 30-minute mark, and I think we should probably wind it up. But I just wanted to mention one thing that I saw this week, today actually, that I thought looked really interesting. Let me bring it up on my screen. And in fact, I'll grab the URL and I will put this on screen as a little banner. So I saw this. So it's by Human Made, and it is an event about AI for WordPress. And I'm terrified of AI, and I wish it wasn't here, but at the same time it is, and I don't want to bury my head in the sand, and I'm genuinely kind of interested in where it's taking our industry. And I think this kind of links in a little bit to our first topic about, you know, a bit of a downturn in work and stuff like that. So this is both a massive threat, in my opinion, but also for the maybe more adventurous among us, This is potentially also a new opportunity. So I'm going to try to keep my eyes open. And I've signed up to that event. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the clever people at Human Made have been up to. And just kind of, yeah, take some of that in and hopefully be inspired and not terrified.
Is it online, the event?
I'm assuming. I think so. Isn't every event online these days?
Yeah, it seems to be, doesn't it? Interesting domain, hello.humanmade.com.
Yeah, I didn't quite... That I love this webpage. So that is like, it was styled just for my sensibilities. I'm big into like retro 80s synth type color schemes and things. So that, yeah, whoever designed that.
Well,
yeah, bravo.
Wouldn't it be cool if it was like artificial intelligence and like when you land on it, it's designed for you, and when I land on it.
Maybe it is. What does it look like for you? How cool would that be?
It would. It looks black with purple and. Yeah, it's probably the same, but that would be cool.
That would be very cool, although very, very creepy. But yeah,
yeah. A little too creepy, really, but there you go.
Yeah.
Right, we better wrap it up. We've done 31 minutes babbling on about WordPress again.
I know.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Really appreciate the support. And again, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, do so. We do tend to do some videos on WordPress, although we haven't done many recently. We seem to have been mad busy. But obviously, this show goes out on there as well. Give us a like. It's always good. And if you ring that notification bell, you'll get notified the next video. We're usually at 1:30 every Fridays, unless some crisis has happened, which doesn't usually happen. But there we go. Fingers crossed. We'll be back next week at 1:30 on our channel. So until then, thanks for joining us. And we will see you all soon.
See you next time. Bye.